Uganda.
Sometime now.
2013.
We have stayed at each other's house and fellowship. We are.
It's very good to be here today. Praise God. We are very privileged to be able to have this opportunity. To share with you the Word of God. My name is Brother Bert. I was given the name Bert when I was born. I became your brother when I was born again. Hallelujah. And it's a very exciting time for us to be in this time frame of time. Because I believe that we are living in the last days. I believe we are coming into the time frame of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God is giving each and every one of us an opportunity to participate with Him in that time frame. And I have been traveling back and forth across the world now for about 30-some years. And I have been preaching the same message. And as many times as I preached it, and as many times as I have heard it preached, it's always something new. There is in the church realm different thoughts concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. And many of those thoughts are wrong perceptions. They're wrong thoughts. Because they do not outline or detail what it is that God expects to do or expects to happen in the end time. Praise God. So it's very necessary for us as a people to know what was in the mind of God in the beginning. If we know what was in the mind of God in the beginning, then we can determine what it is He expects as far as the end is concerned. Hallelujah. And I have found a very peculiar thing that what God desired in the beginning and what He expects to accomplish at the end is something that is available for everybody. It doesn't make any difference if you are old or if you are young. Hallelujah. What God has for you as a human being is the same as He has for anybody, anywhere in the world. Hallelujah. So, in order to know what was in God's mind in the beginning, we have to go to the beginning. Hallelujah. And we go to the beginning by go to Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that I believe that this is the Word of God. I mean, what we have and what we call as a Bible, I believe it to be the Word of God. I believe that God oversaw the writing of it. I believe that He was speaking to the individuals who were writing it. What I'm saying is, I think that He was personally involved in the compilation of it. So when we talk about the Bible, we're talking about the living Word of God. And it's very important that we understand that. So though it was spoke maybe 6,000 to 7,000 years ago, hallelujah, what He spoke then is pertinent now. What it means is that what He meant in the beginning, He intends to mean and finish in the end. Hallelujah. And I am not going to go through that whole chapter. But in the beginning, as God was creating the things that we see out here that is known as the world, He was creating it for one purpose. It has one purpose. Hallelujah. It has one purpose. Do you hear me? And though you and I are temporal, what God created, He created for the purpose of an eternity. When we think about God, we can't think about Him as a being that we are familiar with as a human being. Many times we purpose to do things, and the things that we do are very temporal. Oftentimes they don't even get completed. Or they get frustrated. Or there is some defeat or failure in the doing of them. Hallelujah. It is not so with God. When God speaks a word, that word is loosed into the environment in which He speaks it, and it goes out to fulfill or to accomplish what was in the mind of God. And it is going to bring it back to Him. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture says. It says it in Isaiah. He says, "My word shall go out, and it shall not return to me void or empty." Hallelujah. So when God created the earth, He created it for one reason and one reason alone. And that reason has an eternal purpose. Hallelujah. And if we turn to verse 26, and it says in verse 26, it says, "And God said," hallelujah, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Hallelujah. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Hallelujah. There was one reason that God created you, whether you're male or female. And that creation was made to be like Him. Hallelujah. God created you to be like Him. Not to be like your father, not to be like your mother. Hallelujah. But God created you to be like Him. Hallelujah. It makes no difference where you are born. Whether you are born in Nigeria, whether you are born in the United States, or whether you are born in Uganda. Hallelujah. God created you. You have life. You have an opportunity. Hallelujah. God meets you. He comes and He greets you. Hallelujah. For one reason. So that you might be born again. Hallelujah. Now, the born again is not like the church has taught us. And they have taught us it is to get this into heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But my Bible tells me that God doesn't want to take me into heaven. God wants to bring heaven into me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that heaven that is in me is the eternity in which God exists. Hallelujah. So if you are born again, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you have eternity inside of you. Hallelujah. But the devil doesn't want you to believe it. So he does all kinds of things. He afflicts your body with certain things. He creates certain things in the environment in which you are in. Hallelujah. That are working to tell you that you are not eternal. Hallelujah. The very fact that you are born young and you grow up and you grow old, hallelujah, is the mechanics of working to try to convince you of your position of fragility in humanness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what Jesus told Mary is that eternity wasn't something that happened at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said to Mary, I am. Hallelujah. And you know, he clarified it. He wasn't talking about the end of the day. Because one of the sisters said to Jesus, we know at the end of the day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, we know at the end of the day, Lord, when you come, then everything, we will be resurrected. Hallelujah. He said, Mary, you have it wrong. He said, I am. Hallelujah. He says, I am. Hallelujah. That means I was, I am, and I shall also be. Hallelujah. It means a process of resurrection. Hallelujah. That begins right at the moment that you are born again. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we are translated. Hallelujah. Out of the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. Into the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. That means from the time I'm born again. Hallelujah. This reality is a deception. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ground, the place that I am in and I'm dwelling and working is working to work against the reality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of the eternity that is inside of me. Hallelujah. 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 And the church has come to tell you, hallelujah, that you are human, that you are mortal, hallelujah, that you cannot be perfect, that you have to hang on somehow, some way, hallelujah, till at the end of the day when you pass over, you walk into a realm of victory. Hallelujah! It is not consistent with the theology of the Bible. Hallelujah. 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 The scripture says that we are to be perfect. Hallelujah. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I do not understand, if I do not realize the truth that is in God, if I do not come to a conclusion, hallelujah, that God is inside of me, an eternity of God is working in my members, hallelujah, then I will frustrate the will of God for my life. Hallelujah. I have to understand. I have to get hold of the reality of God. Hallelujah. I have to touch the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. I must come to the realization in my relationship with God that God is not something of my imagination. He's not something of just a hope that is out there down the road somewhere. Hallelujah. I have to come to the realization that God, hallelujah, is as real as this brother standing right here beside me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I must give Him the liberty. Hallelujah. In spite of my circumstances, to loose that power of resurrection. Hallelujah. 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 It's not the fact of being delivered out of trouble or tribulation, but it is of the fact of whether or not I believe that God is with me. Hallelujah. Not only is God with me, but God is inside of me. Hallelujah. And He's suffering with me in my tribulation. Hallelujah. And in the suffering of that tribulation, hallelujah, He's bringing forth in my conscious being, hallelujah, the reality of God. Hallelujah. And in spite of my tribulation, God is still going to be God. Loose! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to come to a place of understanding. Hallelujah. It is not a matter if God heals your body. It's not a matter if God heals your flesh. It is not a matter if God gives you more money. It is not a matter if God brings peace around you. Hallelujah. That is not significant to the will of God. What is significant to the will of God is the reality that you personally have of God's presence in you. Hallelujah. 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 There are three Hebrew children out on the plains of Shinar in the country and the place of Babylon. Hallelujah. They had a relationship with a living God. Hallelujah. They were in prayers and fasting many days. Hallelujah. Their concentration and their actions were centered and focused upon knowing this God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God put their knowing to a test. Hello? Are you there? God put their knowing to a test. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. It was God that put their position of belief to a test. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not telling you something out of Scripture. Hallelujah. Job. Hallelujah. Sons of God were gathered together. Hallelujah. Who was there? Who was there? The devil. Did you hear it? The devil was in the presence of God with the sons of God. Hallelujah. It was not the devil that approached God. Sometimes the devil has more wisdom than we do. We kind of barge in on God. We kind of take God for granted. Hallelujah. That wasn't the case. God came to the devil. Hallelujah. And he said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" Look at Job. Look at Job. Have you seen this man called Job? Have you seen this man called Job? Hallelujah. How he loves me. How he worships me. Hallelujah. How he ensues righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God, the devil says, does he serve God for naught? Let me touch him. Let me touch him. And he will curse you to your face. Hallelujah. You devil couldn't touch him. Hello? Did you hear me? Devil couldn't touch him. God had to give the devil the right to touch his servant Job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the devil, God said, okay. Touch him. You can do this, but only that. You cannot go beyond. Hallelujah. What am I saying? I'm saying that God wants to prove you. God wants the opportunity. Hallelujah. For you to demonstrate the reality of what it is that you say you believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at the temptations of Christ. Hallelujah. You know that the scripture says that the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness. It says the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. What was waiting for him in the wilderness? Hallelujah. The devil was sitting there and on his throne waiting for Jesus to come. Hallelujah. Because he had a divine appointment. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I do nothing except that which the Father tells me to do. Hallelujah. 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 There is a story in the Old Testament called Gideon. It's a story of a man who was an Israelite who was in captivity with them in the land in which he was living. And when we read that story, it's not just talking about a time in a place long time ago. It is talking about the church of God. All of these stories in the Bible are about the church. They're about you. They're about me. In our position, our place of relationship. Hallelujah. Because by virtue of your being born again, you are inducted into the house that God calls Israel. Hallelujah. And not only are you inducted into the realm of being Israelite, hallelujah, but the Bible calls you sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Oh yes. God calls you. He doesn't look at you as the son of Abraham, the son of John, the son of whoever it may be. Hallelujah. He looks at you as his protege. He looks at you as his seed. Hallelujah. Oh yes, Romans says, now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. John says, it to them that believe gave them power to become sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you hear it? We think of it in a religious term. Hallelujah. We think of it in an ethereal thought of something that is mystical or magical. But God's saying, oh no. John said, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But this we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus and all of the scripture is talking about you and me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is a phrase that is used in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. That uses the term overcomers. Hallelujah. Seven times. In the first two books of the Bible, it uses the word overcoming. Hallelujah. And it refers to you and I as believers. Hallelujah. Gideon is a story that illustrates on a natural level that position of relationship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gideon was under the bondage of the Midianites. The people of Israel were put to subjugation and tribute to the Midianites. Hallelujah. And the Midianites are referencing to the position, the place of bondage of where we are under as far as the prince of this world is concerned. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And though they had been there for a number of years, and things were just getting worse and getting worse and getting worse, hallelujah, as they are today, hallelujah, things are not getting better. Your money is worth less. What you are able to achieve is less. Your strength is less. Your power is less. Your spirituality is less. Hallelujah. The church basically has lost its position of power and strength. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And it's because they have lost the objective. Hallelujah! We think being prosperous means that we get a bigger building. We get more people to come in. We do good things. We have good programs. We're helping people. We're saving souls. Hallelujah! All of those things are good things. Hallelujah. But if they become your focus, if it's what you are teaching and preaching and what the people are contributing and doing, hallelujah, you have lost your goal. You have lost your focus. Hallelujah. And at the end of the day, you will be overcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of those things are nothing more than attributes that come because of the primary thing that you are looking toward. Hallelujah. And that is that nature of God that is inside of you. Hallelujah. Has to come to a place of preeminence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You overcome first the darkness here, in you. I'm talking about your sins. Not just the aspect of sin, but the thing that motivated you, that pushed you, that orchestrated the circumstances of your sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gideon was called of the Lord at the time of midnight. Hallelujah. And when I say midnight, I mean when things couldn't seem to be any worse. The Midianites were coming in again to raid and ravage and to pillage the land. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even as the devil is now planning to decimate humanity on a global scale. Hallelujah. And God is looking for Gideons. Hallelujah. Because Gideon was an overcomer. He had the capability, had the potential. And if you looked at Gideon on the outside, if you were talking to Gideon and listening to Gideon, hallelujah, you would conclude that he was anything but an overcomer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God was looking down deep inside of Gideon. Hallelujah. As God is looking down inside of each one of us. Hallelujah. Makes no difference your strength. Makes no difference your knowledge. Makes no difference your income. Makes no difference your position in society. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, the lesser thing that you are, the greater the potentiality that you have in God. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. The lesser potential of you as a human being, hallelujah, the greater your potential in God. Hallelujah. So God calls Gideon. And he said to gather all of Israel. So there was a word that went out from Gideon as to the intent of what it was that God told him that he wanted them to do. Hallelujah. And many came. I think there was 30-some thousand people. Hallelujah. God said, no, no. Too many. Least you will say, we did it by our own strength. Huh? So he said, tell those who are afraid or who just want to go home to go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something like 22,000 of them left. Hallelujah. Did you? 22,000 of them just went on home. We're not talking about Gideon. We're not talking about Gideon. We're talking about the church. We have thousands of people. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are professing to be Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't understand it. If we have all of these thousands and thousands of people, why is the church in the condition that it's in? Huh? Hallelujah. It says that there were about 5,000 in Jerusalem, and they were turning the world upside down. 5,000. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is that comparison today? I was coming in here on this little road, going down and around and up and down and through the bush. Hallelujah. And I counted four churches out here in the bush. Well, at least the cross was up there on the top of the deal. Hallelujah. I counted four churches coming in here, out here, in the middle of rural Uganda. Hallelujah. I walked down the streets of India. I walked down the streets of Nigeria. I walked down the streets of Ethiopia. Church after church after church after church after church after church. Hallelujah. And things are just getting worse and darker, and people are dying and going to hell, and the Christian is being put down into a place of servitude and subjugation. Loose! Hallelujah. Where is your power? Hallelujah. It is not in how you pray. It is not in if you are baptized or born in the Spirit. Hallelujah. It is a matter of the reality that you have of God and the position, the place of what it is He intends to do. Hallelujah. Not what I want to do. Hallelujah. I might want to build a church out here. And I might want to build a church over there. And I may want to build one over there. But it may not be what God wants me to do. Hallelujah. 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 Gideon, hallelujah, sent the message out. And God divided them. Hallelujah. 10,000. That's what was left. 10,000. God said, there are two, still too many. God said, now, I want you to bring them down to the water. And there, I will try them. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what that water was? You want to know what the water was? Word of God. Washing of the water of the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's not how much you read it. It's not how much you have memorized of it. But how much of it is being written on your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says of Jesus Christ, John chapter 1 verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word. What Word? What Word was in the beginning? That Word that said, and God said. Did you hear it? In the Spirit? Huh? In the beginning was the Word. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God said, hallelujah, let us make man. Hallelujah. 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 You were there in the beginning. Oh, yes. You were there in the beginning. Hallelujah. God is beginning and He's in. Hello? Are you following me? Huh? So God went in the beginning, was speaking, He saw the end. He saw everything in between. He was already there. He saw you sitting here in this congregation. He saw you here in this congregation sitting. You are here by divine appointment. God had an obligation to give to you the reality of the truth that is in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has brought us many miles. Hallelujah. We have left families and things because God had a divine appointment for you. Hallelujah. God had wanted to give you an opportunity. Loose! God wanted you to hear what I am saying to you now. Hallelujah. I may never see your faces again. I may never come back to Uganda again. Hallelujah. But you cannot say that God did not visit you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I have belief in God. One of the things I have done in my life was that I was a farmer. Hallelujah. For many years I was a farmer. Hallelujah. And you know, when you plant that seed, you plant it in faith. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? You plant it in hope. Hallelujah. You don't know what's going to happen to that seed. You're not going to stand there looking at it and taking care of it. Hallelujah. You're just going to plant it. Hallelujah. And then you're going to trust and believe that God will bring them that need to water it. Hallelujah. Bring them that need to care and to tend it. Hallelujah. So the planter and the waterer is nothing. They are nothing. They are nothing but a tool.
that God is using to deposit the reality of the seed of God into the earth that is called human. Loose! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And you are hearing today something by the Spirit. Hallelujah! And if you can grasp hold of it, if you can hold on to it, hallelujah, and God will begin to cause the regeneration of that seed. Hallelujah. It'll begin to sprout. The hull of it will begin to crack. The root would begin to go out. And the stem will begin to work its way. Hallelujah. Until it breaks through the crust of the earth. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the natural seed. I'm talking about the seed of God that is inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 So Gideon, God said to try them. God, I will try them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's an interesting verse in the Bible in the New Testament when Jesus was talking to Peter. And he looked at Peter. And he said, Peter, devil wants to sift you like wheat. Now, you would think that Jesus would have laid hands on him and rebuked the devil. Huh? Oh, no. He said, I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. That when you are converted, you will strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, God knew, Jesus knew that Peter, what Peter was going to go through. At that particular, he knew where it was that Peter was heading. Hallelujah. He knew the tribulation. He knew the trouble, the pain, the suffering, the poverty, the wanting, and the things of unfulfilled desire or emotions that he had within him. Hallelujah! But he also knew that Peter had to walk through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that at the end of the day, Peter's testimony, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Would be one of victory and overcoming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's necessary for us to be tried, brethren. God says of the church today, yet once more will I shake. Not the heavens only, not the earth only, but I will also shake the heavens. Hallelujah. That means he's going to shake you. Hallelujah. He's going to shake you where you stand in what you believe. Hallelujah. And if we do not measure up, but we begin to be shaken and we lose our balance, God says it shall be removed. Hallelujah. He's not talking about this natural earth. He's talking about you and I as brethren, as sons of God, as born again people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was necessary for God to tell Gideon to bring him down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Gideon brought them down to the water. How many was left?
300. They started out with
32,000.
Ended up with 300. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a young man, there, and I was inducted into the army, they were giving many of us an opportunity to become involved in what they called special forces. I wasn't one of those who desired to go that direction, but some of my friends were. And there were many that wanted to be a part and who took the opportunity. The training was so rigorous, so severe, so rough, that maybe 1 out of 10 made it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if men will do that for an earthly position or an earthly prize, how much more should we be determined for the reality of a spiritual experience? At least you think that I'm twisting the scripture, I want you to listen to what it was. I want to reiterate again what it was that God told Adam and Eve that they were supposed to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, have dominion. That means that you're in charge. Hallelujah. You have a certain realm or sphere of influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have dominion. And over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Hallelujah. He said that they were to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish the earth, and to subdue it. You know, you can have a dominion and not have it in submission to you. Huh? Governments rise. Governments fall. Governments rise. They have a dominion. But within the dominion, their subjects begin to rebel. And they begin to move against the government. And the government falls. Why? Because they were not able to subdue it. So you can have a dominion by virtue of your birth in God. But that which you have dominion over is working contrary to the authority that is in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happens to your dominion? Hallelujah. Peter said that you and I are to make our calling and election sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are learning how it is and what it is that God wants to do concerning us as a people. Now, if you were to look at Gideon's situation in the natural, it was impossible. Do you hear me? It was impossible. There were thousands of Midianites.
Yeah.
and only 300 Israelites. And to make matters worse, they were to fight with a sword, a candle, and a clay pot. Can you imagine going out against a battle of thousands with a clay pot and a candle and a little sword? Oh my God. Hallelujah. But we have to understand God's thinking. It wasn't the people that were going to defeat the enemy. It was God that was going to work. It was God that was going to work the destruction. But he was going to work it through the obedience of the people. Think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. Just think about it. Hallelujah. I don't know if any one of those 300 even killed anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 300 scattered out around the whole host. And when they heard the sound of the trumpet, they were to break the vessel so that the candle could be seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the shout of the people, hallelujah, was to be shouted at that particular time. Hallelujah! You know, only God could devise a plan like that. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Only God would devise a plan like that. But I wonder what kind of man would submit to it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can you imagine that? Huh? But when they broke the pot, when they began to cry the cry, confusion and chaos broke loose in the camp of the Midianites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they begin to kill each other. Hallelujah. All they had, the 300 had to do was to walk down, hallelujah, pick up the spoils, hallelujah, and carry it home. That's all they had to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is not who you are. It is not what you are. Hallelujah. Let me put it into a practical application. You're in your home with your family, and you're serving the Lord, and you're being right in your attitude and motive with regards to God. Hallelujah. And there is a contingent of people who do not like you doing that. So they get a group of men together. Let's say they get 50 men together to come down to your house to arrest you and to persecute you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as they come down, hallelujah, to break in your door, hallelujah, they break into your house. They're sitting there brandishing their weapons and saying to you what they're going to do to you and your family. And all of a sudden they begin arguing with each other. Hallelujah. They begin to argue with each other. And they begin to push each other. And before you know it, somebody brings out their knife and they stab another one. And another one begins to fight. And another one begins to fight. And you're just standing there, watching them kill each other. That's that's reality. It happens every day, you know. Hallelujah. If you do not have the relationship, if you do not have the position of strength and power in the knowledge of God, hallelujah, it will not necessarily end up that way. Hallelujah. Because some of us have to come into God as by fire. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to get to know this God. To build a personal relationship with Him. Tell Him, you want to be part of those overcomers. It is not something you get because you're born again. It's not something you get if you're just baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit. That doesn't guarantee you a place in that position of overcoming. You have to want it. You have to ask God for it. You have to knock on God's door. You have to seek God. Hallelujah. And they that knock, they that seek, they that ask, they shall receive. God's word guarantees it. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Give them a little fast move around.